born ready, Jack. I'm born ready, Jack. Jack, I was born ready.
I'm just going to cut all this out.
No, don't cut it out. Do the intro, fucker.
This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast where Kelly butts into the introduction. I am the doctor, Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of TARDIS school to be called a Time Lord. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Gelden. It's Big Whoop. Want to fight about it? Kelly for Stuka. Here she is. Evie's on the mic. Can you hear her licking?
I mean, it'd be funny if she did her little meow, meow.
Yeah, she's usually so chatty, and then you put the microphone in front of her and she gets all shy.
Mate, she'll be chatty in a fucking second, don't you worry about that. A fly will go past.
She's a real chatty Kathy.
She's a real chatty Kathy. She loves to chat. She's got lots to say.
Are we at the point now with most supermarkets where people shouldn't be allowed to use trolleys?
Listen. I fucking hate everybody.
Between the constant 16-year-old who is manically filling up baskets for fucking DoorDash and Uber Eats orders and the constant refilling that goes on during the day.
That is so annoying.
Not at night like it should, but fucking Woolworths and Coles had to scrap, you know, $10,000 out of their fucking annual general budget so they could go to their shareholders and be like, "See, we saved your money." So every boomer in Australia could be a multimillionaire and the rest of us fucking suffer in hell. There was this guy at the supermarket before. I went to the supermarket to get gloves because it's Sunday morning and it's me and Kelly's time. And milk,
hey,
right?
Watch it, Chief.
And slow down, Agcat. And there was this guy every time. Like, I was trying to find food-grade rubber gloves. I couldn't find them in any aisle. And every time I walked into the aisle, this fucking guy with a fucking trolley had reappeared.
Every time.
And then you're doing the fucking duck, goose dance where you're like, But he, like, I know he's just living his life and probably trying to get his shop done early on a Sunday morning, but he was just so fucking oblivious. You know, he's got his, like, trolley around. Like, he's taking up the whole aisle with his trolley. So it's not even,
I hate him.
What I mean? It's like, well, I have to turn everything towards the product that I'm looking at. Otherwise, I won't be able to buy it. Like, fuck. Jesus Christ. And I feel like this is purposeful, right? This is my conspiracy theory. You want to hear, it's time for Damien's patented socialist conspiracy theory. I think Coles and Woolworths are purposely trying to pushing out insidification of their stores, of their brick and mortar stores, so we all have to buy stuff online, right? So they don't have to employ people in stores. So they want all of their, they'll eventually just have places that are essentially like warehouses, and you order the food and you either go and pick it up from like a drive-through type thing, or everything has to get delivered.
That actually makes sense. Like, that'll be something. Yes, but because the thing is there's that, so they'll absolutely do that, but I think that they bank on too much when you go into the store and you have a list of six things you want. They bank on you going through every aisle and you end up leaving with 20.
Yeah.
Right? So the store is only there because you accidentally buy a bunch of other shit you don't need as opposed, but if they could.
But the Coles have partnered with Palantir. If you don't know who Palantir are, look them up and then, you know, have a fucking existential crisis. Like, they wouldn't be able to get people to do that online through their app and on site. Like, 1,000%.
Like, they just keep on having ads on the app and stuff. Yeah. Buy this, buy that.
If everyone ends up doing all their shopping on their phone, that's perfect for them. They don't have to employ anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I love
because every time I was just going to say, the reason why all this came into my head is that the last three or four times I've gone into a physical supermarket in Australia that's not Aldi, I have walked out of there in the very front of my frontal cortex being like, I think I'm just going to order groceries online from now on because I can't fucking handle that experience.
It's always like, there's always some fuckhead with a trolley. where like I'll be looking at something and then someone puts their trolley right behind me.
Yeah.
Right? So I've got to like walk around them or I bump into it because I just don't. But every time someone puts their trolley near me, I get my bag and I push it like I'm readjusting my handbag yeah. and then I push it away like I didn't notice them.
It is pretty amazing to real be passive aggressive out stuff. With my wife when stuff like that happens, when someone's being either a purposeful sort of absent dickhead or even just an absent dickhead. Kelly will 100% attack the situation front on. I am too much of a coward to do that. I'll just cop it. And then bitch about it for 2 weeks afterwards.
Like, I'll bag someone. What's it called? I'll bag shepherd someone.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're waiting in line and someone's standing really close, I'll make sure my bags are on my shoulder, like the shopping bags. And then I'll readjust them on my shoulder so that it smashes back and like hits someone. But I'm oblivious that I hit someone because I just didn't know someone was standing so close to me in a line where. You don't need to be that close, fuckhead.
The shopping bag.
Move the pram, dickhead.
The shopping bag you need is on your shoulder. Hopefully Apple Corps don't hear that. Otherwise our podcast will get fucking sued into oblivion. We were in, what's the name of the nerd shop? Nerd shop. I keep going to say Zing. But it's not
Zap or something.
Zap? Is that what it's called?
I don't know, but it's got a lot of Harry Potter, Jurassic Park smelling candles.
We have a yearly Christmas celebration with our friends, the community, and we have a bad Santa, and each year we try and escalate how shitty the presents are that we all buy for each other. And I was in the Zap the other day with Kelly, very close to buying a Scooby-Doo t-shirt. But then I was like, it's not evil enough. But as we were looking at those, as we were looking at that stuff, a woman with a full Coles trolley appeared in Zap and literally parked it behind Callie's ass and like was literally pushing Kelly into the wall.
Yeah.
And then Cal turned around and was like, and then the woman, like she just snapped out of a dream, was like, oh, sorry. Oh.
No, she didn't say sorry. She didn't say anything. She just went, looked up and then just kind of just slowly was pushing the truck. But the thing is, that store is a really like, it doesn't have aisles. It's not like a shopping center.
It's a tiny little nerd store.
So though. Like you got to like, you touch a merchandise as you're pushing your dumb Coles
trolley.
Just
think of like a, you know, regular supermarket store that's like, but yeah, there's not aisles or anything. And she's just pushed a full weekly shop into Zap because she desperately had to look at the Pokemon t-shirts that were.
No, she definitely didn't say sorry. Because I kept on just bumping her trolley. Like I just kept stepping back and like picking up t-shirts. Like I was looking and I think on the third bump, she looked at me with a grease. And as she walked away, I was like, you're right. Because that's what I do. I always like to say things as they walk away.
Walking away.
I remember just trying to think of altercations in public.
Yeah.
One time I was returning something at some shitty phone zone and it was just like, it wasn't working. And this guy that worked there.
The names of these shops, when you say them out loud, it's so terrible.
The guy at the shop was like, you could tell he was a chauvinistic pig. What nationality? Probably Italian or something. My own. You know,
Italiano kind of, number five.
You know, but you know those kind of guys, they're like, how's it going? And I was like, oh, it's not working. And he's like, oh, well. I was like, yeah, can I swap it for another one? He's like, no, we don't do swaps or refunds. I go, but it's not working. Here's the receipt. I bought it a week ago. And he's like, what do you say? He said, oh, fuck, I'm just trying to think of the word that he called me, which made me blow up, where he was like, listen, sweetheart. He was sweetheart. Listen, sweetheart, you know, you buy something, maybe you just don't know how to use it. And I was like, I fucking went off. Like I'd screamed at him. I didn't scream, but he screamed at me. I was like, don't call me that. You're very rude. He goes, well, I mean, you look like someone who just doesn't know how to use technology. And I was like, fuck. And at the time I was living with Joanne and Dave and I went home and I was like, you're a fucking asshole. You're so fucking rude. I hope your store burns down. He's like, oh, fuck off. I was like, you fuck off. Like it was full on. I got home, I was shaking, and I told Dave, and Dave's like, where are my keys? I was like, no, Dave, don't do anything with my brother-in-law. He's like, no, where are my keys? Where are my keys? And he's like, he goes, I'm going down there.
Where are my keys? The David Blake story.
Because Dave's not a meathead. And he's not a violent guy, but he's very protective of family. And I went, no, I yelled at him. And he goes, oh, I bet you would have fucking yelled at him. Good. But he's like, but I'll go down there. But not to do, like, just to go, hey, if you fucking, you know. But, and then, oh, no, the best one was there was this, like, just a dress shop in Bridge Road. And I bought a red dress for my cousin's wedding. And at the time, I was very, very skinny. Like, this was one of my primo Kelly Vistuka slim moments, like probably around the 60 kilo mark. Like,
hello, boys.
I know. So, and I've lost 30 gentlemen, kilos.
Gentlemen, form an orderly queue.
So, 9, 8, 7. So, yeah, 20 kilos lighter than what I am now, and I've already lost 30. You know what I mean? Like, I was really thin. And I bought this red dress, and it was kind of like a
round of applause for Kelly. She lost 32 kilos.
Yay. And it was kind of like a Kelly Bundy dress. Like, it was, you know. Like,
woo!
Yeah, like it was kind of tight, but it was not that tight Kelly Bundy, but
yeah, you could walk I know in what it. So, yeah.
And it went to like the knee, and it has like, you know, like dresses like that has like a little slit at the back so you can walk and stuff. So during the wedding, I'm like, huh, something feels weird. And then, so this is like halfway through the wedding, and I'm not even a big dancer or anything. The slit at the back. It didn't rip, right? But the sewing, like the stitches were coming undone.
Mm.
So that was just the stitching, right? And it come all the way up to near where my bum was. So I had to wear a coat for the rest of the night. The first time I wore the dress, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It fit me and it was stitching. It wasn't ripping. So next, you know, week I took it back with the receipt. I went, hey, I wore this once. This happened. And you can see I didn't rip it. And the chick, like, wouldn't even acknowledge me, went and served someone else. And I was like, do you want me to wait here? She's like, yeah, I'll get someone. Like, it was like that. And the chick came and I told the story again. And it was like they were selling dresses and people were at the register.
Mm.
Told her the story. I go, as you can see, I didn't rip it. And she goes, well, maybe you just got a size that was too small for you.
Fucking hell.
Maybe you got a size that was too small for you. I went, well, it would be ripped then, but it's not. The stitching's come undone. And she was like, and then proceeded to serve other people and completely ignore me. And I was just standing there. It's like crazy, right? That store's no longer there, right? It closed down.
Oh, surprising.
Good, surprising.
We're such
but is that just the rudest thing?
Customer service.
Is that the rudest thing I think anyone's ever said to me? Maybe it was too small for you. And yeah. I was like, I fucking lost heaps of weight. Fuck you. It did fit me.
Oh, poor Stooks. Listen, no one is designed to work in customer service. It's a terrible industry that's been designed by a terrible system in capitalism. But there are some of us that are more predisposed to customer service than others. And that woman, fucking hell. It's always... It wasn't even after I like, and I'm only just saying this to put it in context. Our band had been on the front of Beat and Impress, and I was still terrified to go into music stores and talk to the guys who worked in guitar stores because they were such fucking assholes. Even though at that point in my life, I was making a living from playing in a band. I was like, finally, I found a guitar store on Brunswick Street where the guys in there were all really nice. But every other music store I'd ever been into, it was a similar attitude of like, you know what I mean? It's like, well, if you don't know what gauge strings you need on your guitar, maybe you shouldn't be playing one. Like, bullshit. You know?
Everyone's a hero. I'm sick of this shit.
I know. I'll play the May I Help You riff.
No, Stairway denied.
Not today, my good man. I'm feeling saucy. Do you accept cash?
So what did you watch this week?
Nothing.
Nothing? What do you mean nothing?
Well, I don't think I've... Well, we finished season 2 of Ted Lasso, but I don't know if you want to talk about that now.
Well, what else?
But that's pretty much the only thing that I've watched, Bubba, that's not maybe. Wrestling, cricket... Maybe. Cricket season's here again. So I've been watching a fair bit of cricket, getting very angry at the TV.
Maybe we just talk about Ted Lasso then.
We love Steve Smith, don't we, folks?
No one cares about cricket, Damien.
Well, I think you'll find a lot of people like it. If you look at the ratings.
I don't care about it. I'm not doing a podcast about cricket.
If you look at the ratings, actually, a lot of people are like...
Ted Lasso has some very small Easter eggs, but this season has been... Like, I've literally had to walk out of the room because this
season
fucking
one,
show...
real good. Season this, two...
This fucking show shits me. It's so... It's like teenagers wrote it. It's... The script is so bad. Nothing is happening. It's so lame. But there's small little nuggets, right, that make it good. And I'm like, hone us on the nuggets, you fuckheads. But the whole – anything to do with Keely or blah, 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 no one gives a shit, right? But the whole storyline with Nate, like the whole storyline with Nate turning into a fuckhead, that, yes –
pretty much the only interesting storyline throughout all of season two.
Yeah, it really. It's the only one. That fucking psychiatrist.
Oh my god, just so fucking dull and boring. And also, right, just want to say, I'm not a psychologist, but I am the son of one. She's a terrible therapist. Right, like she's cold, dismissive. Tries to turn everybody against Ted, kind of insinuates that Ted's coaching style is not good for the team and stuff.
She's condescending. And then she makes it like her people come to her with their problems. I get this thing of condescendingness from her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, what would you expect when you're a grown up to be a narcissist and da da da? You're like,
but
ah.
Yeah, but it's also, and like fuck talk therapy, but you know, listen, that's going to make me sound like a kook, but I think it's bullshit.
I love it.
I think it just conditions people to think that they're the problem when the system they live in is the problem. Yes. And also the character, the actor who plays that character, extremely uncharismatic, annoying. But also, I don't want... Like, the thing that was fun about Ted Lasso is Ted and Coach Beard.
Yes.
Right? They're weird. They're interesting. It's such a strange, like the comedy in the show comes from the situation of they've hired this college fucking football coach to coach a Premier League team because the owner wants it to fail.
Yeah.
And then because they've decided to take a nice tone with it, you see Rebecca's arc from villain to good guy. You see Keely coming to terms with being more of an adult. Roy becomes less of a fucking meathead. You know, Nate steps up and realizes his dream. It's a really nice, good storyline. And this all comes from Ted's relentless positivity.
Yeah.
And the show is saying, be more inclusive, have a community. You know, like it's really good, positive shit. And then the second season comes around and they completely unpick it. You know what I mean? It's bullshit writing room crap that happens almost on everything these days where the show is they write the show, it's a success, and rather than being like, okay, so let's try and progress the story along a little bit here, what's the club doing, how's Ted handling it, blah blah blah, they introduced another villain in Rebecca's ex, so that's fine, he could have been the villain in season two, but we have to sit around and find out that Ted's dad fucking killed himself and Ted was the one who found the body, and his superpower of being completely positive basically is like a trauma response. So it's not that he's just an inherently good person. He shouldn't be like that. It's there's something wrong with him and that's why he's like that. That's what I fucking hated about this season is that they essentially took the hero, deconstructed him to a point where it's like, oh no, no one could be that nice. He's in denial. He's a trauma victim, right? And so there's a part of me that's like, okay, so you as the writers of this show are telling me that I'm a fucking idiot for liking this character in the first season because you've completely pulled back the curtain to be like, oh, no. What you thought was like this amazing ability of this human being is just nothing more than...
He's just Jeffrey Rush from Shine.
Yeah. Right? And then there's just... There was a lot of like the dog who caught the car with the writing of like that whole episode about Beard. It's like, what about Beard? We don't really know anything about him. Let's like look into his character more. And then we have a whole episode where he's out on the Raz with some friend, like some of the guys from the pub, and he gets in trouble and all this stuff.
It was an interesting episode, but I was like, yeah, no, but compared to, it was just a, it was a fine whatever episode, because then the next few, they had a thing where Rebecca's father passed away, so there was a whole episode about the funeral, and every single element about that episode was really, really shit and bad. Like, it just wasn't relatable. It was so stupid.
Mm.
And then they tried to do this correlation where she has this, like, big talk with her mum where she caught her dad cheating, the dad that's passed away, caught him cheating, and now, you know. And then as she's telling the story about how she found her dad cheating, Ted Lasso is telling his psychiatrist the story about how he found his dead dad.
Mm.
And I'm like – and they kept on cutting back and forth, like, it was one conversation, you know. And I'm like, you can't put a price on catching your dad cheating to catching your dad dead from a fucking suicide.
Yeah.
Like, why are we comparing the two? Like, they've both got these
Everybody's
traumas.
Got trauma.
Yeah, but I just was so like that whole episode about her. And also I was like, but dude, I haven't had any fucking episodes about soccer and the club. Which
There's
is what
none.
The show's about.
There's
for like
the
three...
first episode and the last episode of 12 episodes.
And they were great.
So you have 10 episodes of a 12-episode season about a football club and its coach, and they don't mention
big
the
mistake.
Football club.
Big fucking mistake. And then when they do mention it and this whole thing goes
it's
down
back
with
on track.
Nate, like this whole thing happens with Nate, and you know stuff's happening because very, you know, every once in a while Nate actually reveals who he is, which is a fucking arsehole, right? Like he forgot where he came from. He forgot working his way up. And he's a cunt. And Beard has put him in place a few times, da da da. But then
Beard's been clocking him the whole season.
He's been clocking him the whole season. And then Rebecca's ex, the rich ex who we hate, whispers something in his ear at the funeral, which I'm like.
Which we find out later, he's bought West Ham and he wants him to coach it.
Right. But the fact that all we know is that at that point, all we know is that he's whispered something in his ear. Right. That's perfect because we're like. Oh, what the fuck did he whisper in his ear? Knowing that Nate is going to the dark side, the ex has whispered something new. And I'm like, this is it. This is what we need.
Yeah.
And then the next episode, he's in the team because we don't know what he whispered to him. He's in the team. Some stuff goes down. They have arguments and blah, blah, blah. And like, anyway, and it ends with him coaching the next side. It makes me really mad because this show has potential. And for whatever fucking reason, and it's also, it could be the reason because most of the time season one of a show is really good because they've had the time to put it together.
Hmm.
And then when it comes a hit, they've got to put season two out really quickly. And they normally have half the time to write season two than they did the first season. So it's rushed. So that's why it feels like those episodes in the middle are rushed.
Yeah, probably. But also I think there is a real, because I listen to podcasts with people who are writers on TV shows in America, in Hollywood. And they talk this way about, we want to explore characters. We want to make it more character driven. Like the people who are in that writing room, they're not happy with just having a hit comedy show, right? They want to create prestige TV. So they start doing all these bullshit tropes of like, it's a one-er on, well, that's not the right term because that's a camera term, but like it's a, we're concentrating on each character. We're going to go deep into each character, you know?
But sometimes that's good because when they did the camera, when they focused a bit on Nate, that was good. You saw how his dad was, right? You saw how he was trying to impress, you know, his family with certain things. You know, his dad was never happy. Like Nate's episode where they go into the restaurant and he's trying to, you know.
Yeah, not bad.
That was an important arc episode for his character because we were like behind him. We're like, oh, he's getting confident. He's doing this. And he does this thing when he gets confidence. He spits in at himself in the mirror and he gets confident. And the first time I saw it, I was like, huh, that's a bit aggressive, but I guess that's what he needs to do to get there. And then the second time he did it, He was a cunt.
Mm.
And I was like, what a great way of revealing him being a fuckhead.
Yeah.
You know? Shut up, idiot. So very unhappy with Ted Lasso at the moment. Very unhappy with Ted Lasso at the moment. Don't stop it. It's fine. Just
Well, I'm going to have to cut all this out anyway, so I'd rather press pause than to have to sit there and edit it all. Sorry about that, gang.
Anyway, I'm really disappointed with
Lasso. Yeah, it's frustrating, right?
Because I generally don't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, I've kind of gone off it a bit as well. It's frustrating because the first season was so fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. You know, and stop making Rebecca sing. We know she's got pipes. Don't care.
I know, it's like every...
I do not care.
It's like every second episode.
Like when they did the stuff with Sam... You know, that was good. Like, there's certain characters in the team that I'm happy to, like, focus on. Like, the Mexican player who, you know, felt like there was demons around. They had to, like, there's all that stuff there. I'm like,
Danny Rojas, the
characters, you know, the weird bloody Norwegian one or whatever nationality.
Yeah,
like, yes, show me more of that. Like, that's great. And even the stuff with Nick and his dad.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Jamie,
yes.
Yeah, they didn't really – like, that's something that could have been really expanded upon and just
– Yeah. They haven't really given Nick a good season at all.
Jamie, fuck.
They haven't given Jamie anything really this – because he had a massive turning point.
Yeah.
And there's more to come for him, you know?
I mean,
Where is it?
The whole second season could have been the redemption story of Jamie.
It's bad.
Because he's, like, basically the bad guy in the first season.
Yeah.
And then it all just sort of, they rushed through it of like, oh, he was in Man City, then he went on a reality TV show, Man City dropped him, and so he's come to Richmond and asked for his job back.
Yeah, they could have dragged
him. But everybody hates him, so he's got to work his way to regain everyone's trust, and that happens in like an episode.
Mm.
And then Jamie's just part of the team again.
Mm.
And then halfway through the season, he tells Keely that he loves her.
Mm.
Right,
because she's the only hot woman on earth.
Is she the only hot woman?
Well, that's apparently everyone, and Nate tries to kiss her as well.
It's fucking crazy the way everyone acts when she walks into the room, you know. And like, whatever, I'm not going to comment on people's attractiveness. It's just, to me, it's weird. She walks in the room and everyone's like, "Oh my god, it's Keely, the hottest woman in England." And then Rebecca's standing right next to this like 6'4" Amazonian woman. Blonde, big boobed woman is right there, and everyone's like, "Yeah, hi, Rebecca. Keely, oh my god, you're the hottest woman alive."
Dude,
I can't find someone attractive who says "fink." I think I'm gonna do that.
It's very disappointing. I started giving it 4 grumps, and now it's down to like 1.5.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think it's gone from 4.5 to like 3 for me.
And even like, because like, I haven't even watched Early Murders either because.
Yeah, we just stopped watching that.
It's her voice. I can't listen to her voice.
What voice is that?
Because we got to record a podcast. I just got to talk and I don't move my lips.
It's gotten weird.
I got a podcast.
Someone told me, I don't know if it was at work, like she's had some sort of.
Some people say because she got lupus and she's had a kidney transplant. So some people talk about, you know, lupus, like sometimes stuff like that can change your voice.
Yeah.
Because when you look at interviews with her like 3 years ago, she had more of expression in her voice. She had more like, you know, ebbs and flows, but it's all monotone. It's vocal fry. I don't think it's that. I think your voice can change, but you can still open your mouth and enunciate your words. And you can also kind of go high and then kind of go low and just put a bit of emotion behind the voice and what you're saying. And we're going to go record a podcast, blah, 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 blah. But hers is, we're just going to record. No, we have to go there now. No, record a podcast. Fuck off.
Yeah. Well, what you've been watching Pluribus, right, Bob?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'll get back to you because I like the idea of it. And I'm interested, but I'm at to a point now where something else needs to happen. And I think if I watch the next episode or two, it does. Because like the whole purpose of the show is that everyone on – they get invaded by aliens. But the aliens are like a kind of spiritual being and they take over humans.
Mm.
And they – basically it's like that episode of Rick and Morty, Unity – where they're all one.
Yeah.
Actually, that's exactly what it is.
She's just ruined the show for yourself.
No. But I'm like, that's exactly what it is. It's unity. Yeah. It's unity.
Yeah.
So they're all the same person, you know?
Yeah.
But it makes the world better. So they're working together to like do things and stuff. But not everyone. Some people, it's like a virus, so some people can't fight it. And there's 11 people left in the world who are like this chick,
mm-hmm.
who's very good, by the way. She's excellent. She's from Better Call Saul, and she's really, because the whole show is her. So it's this horrible thing where everyone's like, she's like, I'm alone in this, you know. But the unity around her are lovely. They're like, hey, we're going to deliver food to you. And they've said to her, we're trying to figure out why you and 11 other people haven't been able to change over. Mm. We're working on it. So she's like, so I'm eventually going to be you. I don't want to be you. She's like, this is the best way to be. You know, there's no war. There's no starvation. Animals live freely. They don't kill. They eat like food. They don't kill animals. So the only meat they eat is stuff that's already been killed. So gradually meat will run out. And they just do fruit and vegetables and stuff. Like they're like, this is heaven, you know?
Hmm.
And so she demands to see, and they will do whatever you want. So she demands to see the other 11 people that, and they've all got families. So she lived, she had a girlfriend who, because some people died when they changed over, depending if they were like driving a car or whatever. Her girlfriend died. She doesn't have any family. So she met the other people. So one of them is like a 10-year-old boy, and his mum and dad and his sister are still, they're unity, but he's like, I'm fine. I want to be with them. So she can't get through to these people because they're all happy with it. Mm. And then there's one guy in Mexico who is not happy. So the last episode was her, she goes, can I call him? And the unity's like, you can try, but he hasn't been responsive to us, but we'll patch you through. And then her phone rings and he's just like, fuck off, in Mexican. So she starts talking to him in Mexican, going, why won't you talk to me? So that's and that's where I'm like, it's like 6 or 7 episodes now, and I'm like, come on, bless you, something's got to happen. So I need, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I've heard the same thing from other people that like they're interested, but it's very slow, and they're on the precipice of,
well, that's what I'm thinking,
pulling the ripcord. And
feel like I'm gonna keep going, because I feel like whatever is going on with this guy, he feels the same, and I think if the two of them get together, then we can start. Because she's like, how do we beat this? How do we beat this? Like one of the guys that she, that's normal. He's like, I don't know if he's like Indian or something, but he's like, he's really like embraced it, where he's like, I'll come to you. And he comes to her in flying Air Force One. And the chick like looks at the unities going, really? And they were like, that's what he asked for. He asked to fly in Air Force One. And he's surrounded by women, you know? And he's got wearing gold chains, and he's just like champagne. And, you know, he's like, this is the life. Why? Goes, look at this. Why change it? This is the best. I'm so happy this happened. I used to have to work and now I don't, you know?
Yeah, I would be.
Yeah, so there's a bit, and she's like, but don't you see what's happening? And then I think he's kind of like, I mean, I'm interested to see what you're going to do, but my life's great. But let's just see what happens with this other Mexican guy, because I'm just kind of like, you know what I mean? I don't know yet. I don't know. I'll get back to you. But I don't have anything else to watch. But we should watch that new Emma Stone film with Stavros in it.
Stavey, we did watch Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull together.
Oh, yay. I like it.
It's not as bad as...
I like it.
Yeah, right? Like I, there's a part of me that's like, I don't know. It feels like an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah.
You know, like... All the stuff that I was like critical of it with the first time I watched it. The first time I watched it was in a cinema with our mate Dan Hall, and I had been drinking beforehand.
Oh,
and then I think, not a huge amount, like 3 or 4 beers, but I remember being a bit buzzed when I watched it. And when we walked out, I was like, me being me, I was more concerned about how we were going to get another beer than whether the film was good or not. But I do remember us being like, yeah, I don't know if that was that great. But watching it here on the couch at home, I'm like, yeah, it's Spielberg. Like, remember that there's the fight scene between like the rockers and the jocks,
yeah, greasers and the sauce.
And then there's a chase. There's a chase sequence throughout the university where Mutt saves Indy and they go on a motorbike through the university, and it's like it's fun,
mate.
I don't know why people watch that particular. Like, it's definitely out of the four, it's the weakest one out of the four.
No, but the last one's the weakest one out of the four.
No, there's five all up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying to that point,
yeah,
it's the weakest Indiana Jones. But in the sense of like I'm a big James Bond fan, right? And I think the best James Bond films, like Daniel Craig's Casino Royale is excellent. License to Kill with Timothy Dalton is an excellent movie. GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan, excellent movie.
License to Kill.
Right. But then, and then the first three or four Sean Connery ones are actually classic films. And then everything else in between, like all the Roger Moore ones and stuff, they're a bit shit and schlocky, but they're fun to watch. You know, Live and Let Die, Roger Moore, is super fun.
Live and Let Die.
And that's the vibe that I got when I watched Crystal Skull.
Did you write that song for that film?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Man, what a great song. Ba, ba, ba. Ba, ba, ba.
Paul McCartney, ba, ba, good ba, 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 at songs. Ba, 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 ba,
ba. What a great song.
Oh, I actually started watching a little bit of the anthology.
I haven't.
Again, yet. Because it's on Disney Plus. And I think we should watch it together because you like documentaries and you kind of like the Beatles. Like, you like the Beatles.
Yeah, you're I love not. The Beatles. The reason why I haven't watched it is because I was like, I thought we were watching it together.
Yeah, well, Bob, I've watched it 7,000 times. So I'll happily watch it from the start again. But yeah, it's great. It's really good. If you haven't watched the anthology before and you liked Get Back.
I liked Get Back.
Then you should watch the anthology. And it's in more bite-sized chunks. So I think they're like hour-long episodes or something like that.
Yeah.
Rather than the 3-hour episodes of Get Back that were like, I know some people were like, oh God, it's just so much. And it's more traditional documentary style.
Yeah, I'm down. I'll watch it.
So yeah, if you don't really know much about the Beatles, I find me personally around Christmas time, revisiting the things that you love is a really cool thing to do. And feeling, yeah, just things that make you feel nice and safe and warm. So for me, it's like comics and wrestling, Monty Python, the Beatles, stuff like that. So, but yeah, so my recommendations are the Beatles anthology and Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Yeah. All right.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Okay. But yeah, Pluribus, we're not sure about yet, and Ted Lasso season 2. What do we give? 3 grumps and 1.5 grumps?
I give a fuck.
One? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nah, Lasso's pissed me off.
It's pissed me off. You've pissed me off, Lasso. This is some listener admin. We've moved hosts, so we took our podcast off Spotify for numerous reasons, but the number one reason for me was that they are at the point where they are an unethical organization to do business with. So we've moved across to RSS.com. But what that means for you is that I have done some work with them. So we are essentially on every fucking platform on earth now. I didn't realize that there were some platforms that you couldn't get our podcasts on. And then when we moved across to RSS.com, they actually pointed that out to me. So we're now on Pandora. We're on Amazon Music. There's a whole bunch of stuff. We're on Sirius in the States. You can find us in there. So if you're listening in other countries and there was, you know, your listener app of choice and we weren't on there. We are now on there. The only one that I can't get onto is fucking the radio app, Listen FM or whatever it's called. It's like the major radio app. They also have podcasts on there. Sorry? No, we're on iHeartRadio. It's people will know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it's one app out of like 50. We're on Audible now. Like, good. We're on everything. So still on Spotify. So like, don't worry. Like, we haven't taken our podcast off Spotify. But we're just not hosted by them anymore. And now that we're on a proper podcasting platform, our listener stats have actually gone up. So they were already starting to look really good, and now we're actually getting a better picture of how many people are listening to us. And also a whole bunch of you have gone and done reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, thank you.
And we've got a score of 4.8 or something on there, and a score of 4.9 on Spotify. Thank you, guys. It really means a lot. I know every podcast says it, but if you could go on there, maybe as a little Christmas gift to us.
Yay.
Do a rate and review, share with your friends. That would mean a lot. All right. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you.
Yeah, we love you. Thank you so much. Having a wonderful Christmas time. Love you.